you all stand with me as we read the Word of God. When you find that Jesus is all that you have, you realize that He's all that you need. Can you all stand with me as we read the Word of God? Can you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3? Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll read together verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 3. We'll read together verses 1 to 6. If you have it, say, I got it. If you don't, say, wait on me. Exodus chapter 3. We'll read together verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Exodus chapter 3. And the Bible reads, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Bow your heads with me as we consider for our time together, my father is better than yours. My father is better than yours. Lord, you brought us here today, and Lord, at least half of us don't know why. Lord, we look on the news and we see people going to sleep in you. We see so many tragedies in our world. And Lord, we come here with our burdens and our pains, asking you to lift them, take them from us. We ask that in its place you'll give us peace. In its place you'll give us comfort. In its place you'll give us salvation. Be with us now as we open up your word. Help us to see you as only you can do. In your name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Moses has entered the witness protection program. He has run from his past. He has a new name, a new family, and a new career. He's been living this new life for over 4 decades now. His past is behind him. His crime is a distant memory. He has hit the reset button. Life is good. And he finds himself tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he's leading the flock to the far side of the wilderness, where our scripture says he comes to Horeb, the mountain of God. We see that he has a new job. He has a new home and he has a new family. He is a shepherd living in Midian, working for Jethro, but this is not God's plan for his life. Moses is comfortable on the far side of the wilderness. He's not in fear of extradition like Vin Diesel and Paul Walker in Fast and Furious 6. He's run off into the sunset living the high life with a new boo and a new crib. I told you he has a new home, a new family, and a new identity. He thinks if he can change his location, then maybe he can change himself. But how many of you know that you can change your location, get a new job, get some new clothes, get a new house, but you cannot outrun you? You can change your environment, but you cannot change your heart. You can be like those people who say, if I can just make it to Oakwood, then I know everything will be all right. If I can just make it to the sacred halls of the church, then I'll be safe. If I can get an Oakwood ID, if I can get in the dorm and financially clear in the school of the prophets, then I am safe from the outside world. Moses is like people who go from town to town to town, changing friends and changing clothes, changing jobs, only to find that nothing really changes. Sometimes we have the same problems. We change locations, but we have the same behaviors. We get new clothes, but we have the same destructive patterns, and we blame other people for our problems. But when the problems pop up, then we up and move, quote unquote, looking for another fresh start. Don't you know that what you are is not dependent upon location? Who you are, hear me, is dependent upon you. You can't run from yourself. I don't know if you notice, but you're stuck with you. LeBron James learned that he can take his talents to South Beach, but the same things that will plague you in Cleveland are the same things that will plague you in Miami. You can't just throw a team together and expect things to be different. You can't outrun yourself. You can run from the mountain to the valley. You can run from the valley to the ocean, but you cannot outrun yourself. I learned a few weeks ago from VeggieTales that you can run from Tarshish to Joppa, trying to hide in a ship full of people who don't know you, but God will send a caterpillar to remind you that you cannot run from yourself. You run, and you run. You change your name, get a new job, a new identity, but you're still the same. I'm reminded of Bruce Banner. Dr. Banner was a scientist. Dr. Banner was a smart scientist. But Dr. Banner was also dosed with a large portion of gamma radiation that turned him into an incredible Green Hulk. He didn't like himself when he was angry. And he let everybody know that if you get close to me and rub me the wrong way, you won't like me either if I get angry. He tried to control his anger with yoga. He tried to control it with exercise. He tried to control it with meditation. He tried deep breathing. He removed himself from civilized life, living in the jungles of Asia, bouncing from town to town to town, hoping to live out his days without incident and in peace. But as soon as S.H.I.E.L.D. called him, and as soon as he got poked and prodded by Loki, the Green Monster came out and nobody likes him. And I learned from Bruce Banner that I can change my environment and try to run from my past, but I cannot outrun myself. I have to start with the man in the mirror. I have to ask him to change his ways. You have to take a look at yourself and then make a change. You can change your name. And you can change your job, but Moses, you cannot run from yourself. Hear this. You can't run from yourself, and you cannot outrun God. Verse 2 says, there the angel of the Lord appears to him in the flames of fire. From within the bush, Moses see that though the bush is on fire, it does not burn up. So Moses thinks, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Moses has a history. He has a backstory. We learn from Genesis that Joseph saved the Egyptian people from famine and that the Egyptian empire prospers because of the presence of the Israelites. But now they find themselves as slaves. God has come to rescue his people, and he meets Moses on a mountain with Mission Impossible, saying, Moses, I have a mission for you. Should you choose to accept it, I'm coming to you in a bush that is burning. Moses, I'm coming to you while you are running, while you are living a destiny that is good to you, but it's not good for you. These last 40 years, Moses, your life has been good to you, but it's not good for you. Moses, you cannot outrun me. Your people are oppressed, but they still prosper. Moses, your people are famished, but they are still favored. Your people are pushed down, but they continue to multiply. Moses, your people are just like this bush. They are burning, but they're not burned up. Come over and see this strange sight. If I had time to talk about it this morning, I would tell you that there are some people in your life who are trying to burn you, trying to push you down, trying to consume you. But you burned, but you did not burn up. The more they oppressed you, the more you multiply. The more they try to stop you, the more you multiply. The more they try to stress you out, the more you multiply. The more they challenge you, the more success you have. The devil is afraid of you, so he tries to squeeze you. He tries to press you. He tries to take you out. But what he does not understand is he's not beating you, he's shaping you. He's not conquering you, he's molding you. God has another assignment for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them whatever challenges you're facing, they won't break you. Whatever challenges you're facing, they won't break you. Hear me, they will prepare you for your future. When we are hiding from who we are and from God's purpose, God will do something miraculous to get your attention. Moses says, I will go over and see this strange sight, a bush that is burning but not burning up. Verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. I'm glad that he knows who he is and where he is. If Moses was one of my patients, we would say that he is oriented to person. He says, I. The nurse would give report and say he is oriented to place. He says, here. He is oriented to time. He says, am, or I am in the present tense. You know something? That's a gift. Some people don't know who they are. Some people don't know where they are. Some people don't know what time it is. It is a gift to know who you are. It is a gift to know where you are. It is a gift to know what day it is. Moses is about 80 years old. He don't have dementia. He has a job. He don't have a traumatic brain injury. He doesn't have a history of strokes. I know at least 26 people who are over the age of 80 who wish they were like Moses. Hear this, not thanking God for big stuff, but thanking God for calling your name and you know who you are and where you are and you know what time it is. As the Mighty Clouds of Joy used to sing, every time I look around, another blessing is coming my way. When I wake up in the morning and see the sunrise, I'm blessed just to be alive. God, you don't have to do anything big for me. If I know who I am and where I am and what time it is, that's enough for me. I don't need a big blessing to thank God. I have sight to see the bush. I have feeling in my hands to feel the heat from the bush. I have ears to hear God calling me from the bush. Are you glad that you can hear this morning? That God woke you up this morning and he started you on your way. You woke up this morning looking pretty and cute. You didn't put your hat on your feet and your shoes on your head. You're blessed just to be alive. Moses, you're 80. You're a senior. You have your AARP card, but you're not ready to die yet. You're not ready to retire yet. Moses, you still have potential. Moses, you're still teachable. You're still adaptable. Moses, no matter how old you are, you still have a destiny on your life. You might be a senior, but God says you're not ready to die yet. You're still full of some stuff. He has some dreams for you to dream, some visions for you to make plain. Moses, you're not dead yet. I'll give you permission when you're ready to die. When you die, Moses, I want you to die empty. As long as there is something for you to do, as long as you have something to give, you're not ready to die yet. I know at least three people under the sound of my voice. You're a senior and you wonder, what does God have planned for my life? But I'm here to tell you that God is not done with you yet. God is not through with you yet. He's calling you from the bush. Moses, Moses, there's still some dreams for you to dream. There's still some visions for you to make plain. There's still some things that God wants to do in your life. You're saying, chaplain, I can't walk. You can have intercessory prayer ministry from your hospital bed. You say, I can't come to church. You can encourage people on Facebook. Whatever you can do in your life. God says, you don't have to brag on me. Just be a living testimony. You don't believe him, but he's come to you in the form of a burning bush to let you know, Moses, no matter how old you are, you're still mine. Moses is hiding. He's trying to run from himself and run from God. But when you read Exodus chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 3, Moses never feels at home. You see in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses doesn't want people to know who he is. He helps the Egyptian incognito and he thinks that nobody sees him. When he kills the Egyptian, and then he leaves because he tried to rescue his people in his own strength and they rejected him. At the end of Exodus chapter 2, he goes and rescues some women and there he is accepted. He is rejected at home and he runs. He is accepted in a new place and he settles there. But he never feels at home. There is this restlessness within that he cannot shake. This uncomfortable feeling from his past. The words of Joseph echoes in his subconscious mind that Israel, that Egypt is not Israel's final destination. But Moses has gotten comfortable in the witness protection program. In the last 40 years, Moses has given up on his dream. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 22, he has his first son and he names him Gershom, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. He isn't comfortable in his own skin. He tries to rescue others because somebody rescued him. God comes to him and he says, I know where you are, but Moses, do you know where you are? God comes to him and he calls his name and Moses says, here I am. Somebody has found me. He tries to hide, but he is seen by the all-seeing eye of God. Hear me, before you can rescue somebody else, God has to first rescue you. Moses is the first slave. Moses is what we call unconsciously incompetent. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And God says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing on is holy ground. Moses, I am calling you, but you need to understand what kind of God you're dealing with now. Take off your shoes. The shoes that you run with, take those off. The shoes that you work with, take those off. The sandals that you climb this mountain with. You have reinvented yourself, Moses. You have a comfortable life for yourself and your family. Everything you take pride in, Moses, take off your sandals. Because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Moses, you've come in curiosity. Now fall on your face. The bush is burning, but you're not here to have an encounter with a burning bush and post on Facebook that you've seen a burning bush. You are here to encounter the God of heaven. Take off your shoes. You need to understand the God that you're dealing with. The ground is not holy because the bush is burning. The ground is holy because I am here. Moses, it's not the signs and the miracles that make a thing holy. It's the thing inside of it that makes it holy. Moses, the bush is on fire, but you're not on fire. Moses, you are working for your father-in-law, Jethro, but you are not on fire. You are married and successful, but you are not on fire. Don't approach me in anything you can take pride in. Take off your sandals. You've told me who you are, Moses. Now let me tell you who I am. Take off your sandals. Take off your excuses. Take off your objections. Because Moses, you cannot take the bush with you, but you're going to take me with you. Take off your sandals. God calls from within the bush. And he says, I am the God of your father. Moses has daddy issues. In chapter 2, it says that a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. It says nothing about Moses' father. His biological father seems absent. His biological father is a slave. His adoptive father, Exodus chapter 2, you've seen Prince of Egypt, is the Pharaoh. And it confuses his psyche when he understands that he's adopted, but he's a slave. His father-in-law is a Midianite. And he feels like a foreigner. Everywhere I go, I have daddy issues. But when God says, I am the God of your father, God is saying, I am who they should have been. Your biological father was a slave, but he is a member of the tribe of Levi. Your father is a slave, but your father has a proud history. He couldn't be in your life the way he wanted to be. He could not see you and take care of you. But Moses, I see you. I hear you. I am concerned about you. Moses, I saw you. I heard you. And I was concerned about you. Moses, I've been with you your entire life. Moses misses it, which is why God comes in a burning bush to capture his curiosity. And God says, your father wasn't there, but Moses, I was there. Your adoptive father was the Pharaoh, but he did not protect you. I protected you. Your father-in-law has not been providing for you these last 40 years. I've been providing for you. Moses, I am your father. Moses is like Clark Kent in Man of Steel. Clark Kent, he grew up in a strange land in Kansas. He was adopted by these strange parents, and he never fit in. He always second-guessed himself. He was a foreigner in a strange land. He could not discern his place in the world. He's confused about what he's supposed to be and what his destiny and his purpose is. And all of a sudden, his father showed up on the ship. And he said, Clark, I am Jor-El, your father. Your real name is Kal-El. Let me explain to you where you were born. Let me explain how you're a miracle. Let me explain to you your destiny. I am your father. You will become the man of steel. You have a different destiny on your life. Even if you're an orphan, even if you're a foster kid, even if you're adopted, God is speaking from the bush saying, I am your father. Whether your father was a slave, a pharaoh, or a shepherd, God stands above all of them and say, I am your father. Whether you had a good father or a bad father, God is the father they should have been. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Two things God tells Moses is, Moses, remember your people, and Moses, remember your family. He says, Moses, remember the legacy of your people and remember the legacy of your family. Moses, your people, go back to Abraham, the first friend of God. Moses, your people, go back to Isaac, the first promised son. Moses, your people, go back to Jacob, the one who was a deceiver, the one who was a hustler, the one who was a schemer. But when he connected with me, he became an overcomer. Moses, remember your people. Moses, I am the God of your weary years. I am the God of your silent tears. I am the one who have brought you thus far. Moses, remember your people. But Moses, remember your family. The family that you left back in Egypt. Remember them. Because your family came out of your people. Remember your father. He was a slave. He didn't have a name, Moses, but he gave you life. He didn't have a name, but he gave you 23 chromosomes. Moses, remember your father. Moses, you have a new home and a new family and a new house. But don't forget your mother. Your mother who carried you. Your mother who birthed you. Your mother who hid you. Your mother who protected you. Moses, you're all big and bad in a new place, but don't forget where you come from. Moses, remember your sister. Your sister who watched you. Your sister who sang to you. Your sister who took you back to your people and taught you about the one and true God. Moses, you didn't get here because you're cute. You didn't get here because you're smart. I know you have a new name and you have some things behind your name. But Moses, remember your people. And most importantly, Moses, remember your God. Moses, I know that life for you ain't been no crystal stair. I know you've had some tacks in your life, some splinters in your life. You've had some boarded up places, places where there was no carpet on the floor. But Moses, no matter how many struggles you've had in your life, remember your family. I know you've been climbing the social ladder. I know you've been turning corners. Moses, sometimes you went forward in the dark. But Moses, remember your family. Moses needs to be reminded that God watched out for him when he was a baby. God watched out for him when he was in the water. God watched out for him when he was in the Pharaoh's palace. He doesn't understand that God has been there his entire life. God knew him. God saved him. And God saw him. He thought he was just looking at the bush. But the angel of God was looking at him from within the bush before he even woke up that morning. He says, here I am. God has to get your attention to let you know that he's been with you the entire time. Moses, all you have to do is look back over your life and see that there were times when you couldn't see your way and God revealed his plan for your life. If you look back over the last 80 years of your life, Moses, you'll see that I worked things out for you when the enemy tried to hinder you. Matter of fact, it was better than you expected. Do you think it was an accident that Moses found Jethro right after he left Egypt? Moses would testify with the psalmist that I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Moses, take off your shoes and consider what God has done in your life. You are 80 years old and you're still alive. Sometimes I'm in church and I see people and they don't realize that God has blessed them. God has blessed them and they're not even conscious of it. They don't have reasons, conscious reasons to give God praise. If you're sleepy and tired and sick like me, and you're not well, God still lets you get here. Even if your head is woozy and you can't see everybody straight. The fact that you can see out of woozy eyes is reason enough right there to give God praise. Even if things are upside down in your life, God has given you health. God has given you strength. God doesn't show you all of the reasons things have happened in your life. But if you woke up this morning, you're still in your right mind. Well, most of y'all in your right mind. You have reasonable health and strength. You might not be able to pray like Paul prayed. You might not be able to preach the way Peter prayed. You might not even be able to get on your knees. But if you have strength to raise your hands from your bed, that's reason enough right there to give God praise. Moses would say, yes, I've had disappointment. Yes, I'm herding sheep, but God has met every one of my needs. I've had some tears in my eyes, but God has been good to me. I wish things were better in my life, but at least they're not as bad as they used to be. I've dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them all vanish at dawn, but I've had enough of my dreams come true to keep me dreaming on. I've prayed many prayers when no answer came, though I waited patient and long. But thank God that he's answered enough of my prayers to keep me praying on. I've drank the cup of disappointment and pain, and I've gone through many days without a song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to live on. God has been good to me. Hear me, I'm not bragging, I'm just testifying. God has been good to me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to give God an in spite of praise. in spite of the sins of my past, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of the choices I wish I could undo, God has been good to me. Has God been good to you? I am a living witness of what God can do. God can raise the dead. He can open blinded eyes. He can heal the sick. He can save a sinner lost and on his way to hell. And the fact that he would show up in a burning bush to call an 80-year-old Negro like me to give me another shot at fulfilling my destiny, to give me another assignment when I should be retired, so he could tell me that he is the father I wish I had. That's reason enough right there to praise him. If he never provides another blessing, he's done more than enough. If he would stop the sun from shining, the moon from rising, he's done more than enough. The God who put the wetness in the water has come to me. The God who put the oxygen in the atmosphere, he's come to me. The God who put the sun on day shift and the moon on night shift and neither miss a day of work, that God has come to me and says, I am your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses, if you don't know what to do, if you don't have a testimony or an assignment, the one thing you can tell people is this: my father is better than yours. All Moses wanted was a place to belong. He didn't know who his father was. He was adopted. He thought being a prince was all that, but it wasn't. When he left and got a new identity and a new family, he thought his father-in-law was all that, but it wasn't. Before I graduated from Oakwood, before I knew how to manage money, I almost got evicted. Now I pay all my bills on time, by the way. I was getting evicted 2004, wasn't that long ago, and my roommate called me and said, the landlord gonna put your stuff out on the street. And as soon as I was put in a tight place, all of these illegitimate and illegal means to get money popped in my head. I called some friends. They couldn't help me. But then I called my father. I told him I was in a tight spot. I said, I'm 3 months behind on my rent. I said, I had the money, but I spent it. I saved the money, but I spent that too. I'm in a tight spot, and I have to go back to Huntsville tomorrow. And he just said, give me the number. I said, it's $750. He said, no, give me the phone number of the landlord. I went to bed that night because I gave it to my father. I woke up the next day, didn't know what was going to happen. I got on the road driving back to Huntsville. When I got to the house, nothing was on the curb. Nothing was on the sidewalk. I walked in the house trembling. And the landlord said, your father has paid your rent. I said, praise him. She said, and he said, you're going to get a bank account and pay all your bills on time. I said, yes, ma'am. And I went downstairs to my room. It was the best sleep I had that night. And then I got a job in the records office at Oakwood. And when I got my first paycheck, it was at the end of the month. I went to my landlord saying, I'm ready to pay my rent 3 days before the first of the month. I went to pay rent before I even took out my tithe. I went to the landlord, wrote her a check, and she said, what are you doing? She said, your father has paid your rent. I said, I understand that he paid my back rent. She said, no, you don't understand, child. He's paid your rent for this month. I said, what? So I called my father, and he said, didn't I tell you? Not only am I going to pay your back rent, what you owe, but I'm going to pay your rent until you graduate. So I started telling everybody that my father is better than yours. I was in a tight spot, and my father came through. I told that experience at his funeral. Nobody even knew he was paying my bills. He provided for me. I didn't even ask him to. And when I tried to pay him back, he said, all I want you to do is get a job and manage your money. I don't know about you. God has kept some stuff from you that you can't even see. I told you last time that God blocks things from coming your way.
and he lets you escape from stuff that should come your way. And he says to you, I am the father that you need. Even if you have a good father, I'm better than him. I don't know about you, but my father is better than yours. If you need that kind of father, a father who comes to you when you're comfortable, who comes to you when you're running, who comes to you when you want to just coast through life. But God comes to you and says, there's still a destiny over your life. The dreams that you stopped dreaming, I want to bring them to pass. But you have to take off your shoes and understand the God that you're dealing with. If that's you, I invite you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a special prayer just for you. You've been looking for a God to love. You've been looking for a God to comfort you. Before God disturbs you, that's later on in the chapter, he will come up, he will come to you in the form of a miracle. Capture your attention and says, come a little closer. I am the God you've been looking for your entire life. Your father was a slave. He did the best he could. Your stepdad was the Pharaoh. He did the best he could. Your father-in-law is doing the best that he can. But you need me to be your father. You need me to be your all in all. There's somebody here under the sound of my voice. You want to say, that's the God that I need. If that's you, I invite you to come to the front. We're going to pray a special prayer of surrender just for you. He's not your God. He's not your father. But you've seen him provide for Moses for 80 years. And Moses didn't know who he was. But he showed up and said, I am the God that's been carrying you since you were a baby. I still have a destiny for you. There's some dreams for you to dream. There's some visions for you to make plain. If that's you, I invite you to come to the front. God is not your father, but you want him to be. Is there one? God is not your father, but you want him to be. You don't have to take off your shoes. Come to the front and surrender to him. Before you can do what God has called you to do, he'll reveal himself as Adonai, the creator God. He'll reveal himself as Yahweh, the relational God. If you need power, if you need love, he is everything that you need. You can take God with you, but you cannot take the bush with you. If you want the God of the burning bush, I invite you to come to the front. I'm going to pray a special prayer of surrender just for you. Is there another? Bow your heads with me. Lord, we've forgotten our destiny. We've forgotten the call that you had on our lives. And Lord, we thought that our detour was our final stop. But Lord, you show up and call to us from the midst of the burning bush. And Lord, you're saying to us this morning that you are our Father. You are everything that we need. Because the truth be told, you are everything that we have. Lord, you've brought us far, this far. And Lord, whatever our future may be, you'll be there too. But Lord, we can't take off our sandals for Father. We ask you to take them off for us. Lord, we can't surrender the things we're hiding from. So we ask you to take them from us. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, the good and the bad. the functional and the dysfunctional. God, we lay it at your feet. We lay it here at the burning bush, asking you to be the God of us, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If you want that God to go with you this morning, just respond by saying amen. God bless you. God bless you.